The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
And like they said, welcome to Project Independence and You right here at Senior Talk Radio on WCWP.org, also 88.1 on your radio dial. And also they have a great app, WCWP Radio. My name is Rebecca Miller, and I will be your guest host for today's Project Independence and You radio show. We have a great guest today, a friend of Otto Loos, who is, Otto is out the co-host for Project Independence and You now pretty permanently since March, Jim Kane. And Jim is an FDNY retired deputy chief. So we're real happy to have you here, Jim, and hear your story and how this all came to be, and now that you're retired, but it seems like you're not fully retired. So I think there's some information that we'll find out about you. And then also we'll be talking about safety at home and, you know, just to help out the seniors and give some information. So today's show is going to run about 2 hours as usual. And we're going to start out right now by talking to Jim. So Jim, you're a retired deputy chief of the FDNY. First of all, thank you for your 39 years and 64 days of service with the FDNY.
It was the first 10-year-old that they ever hired at FDNY.
Isn't that amazing how that happens? So what kind of drew you, Jim, to become to become a member of the fire department?
Well, first of all, let me thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on here. I'm honored. Nowhere in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd be doing a radio show. But I am truly honored to do this for you. When Otto approached me, I had to think about it at first, to be honest with you, because, I mean, I've done interviews before and everything, but never a full show or anything like this. So I am honored, and I thank you for that. In answer to your question, it's actually a pretty funny story. I had family members on my father's side and my mother's side. My mother's father was a captain in the fire department who put in 39 years. My father had two brothers, one retired as a three-star chief and one as a deputy chief, same as me. One had 38 years and the other had 44 years. So it's a family, sort of runs in the family. And yet at the time I got in, I knew nothing about the fire department because it was never pushed on me or anything. As a sophomore in college, hanging out in my one friend's basement, his father came down, handed every one of us an application, said, fill this out, give me $8, and you're all going to take the fire department test.
Where were you living at the time?
In New Hyde Park. I live a mile now from where I grew up.
Okay.
So, 2 years later, I was hired. 3 years later, 2.5 years, I was hired and started my career in the fire department. So I was fortunate. I finished college in May and got hired in August of 1979, and the rest is history from there.
So, where did you start your career? Which fire department?
I started in the Bronx. I spent my first 10 and a half years as a fireman in the Bronx in two different companies. Got promoted to lieutenant in 1990 and went up to Harlem. Got promoted to captain in 96 and actually stayed in the same firehouse but in a different company as the captain. And then in 2004, became a battalion chief and spent the next 15 years as a battalion chief, and then got promoted to deputy and retired a week later.
Wow. So that's it. That's,
you know, Jim is also a volunteer in the New Hyde Park Fire Department. So we're talking to a man who's got a lot of experience, and plenty to be learned.
I'm curious, you know, a kid from New Hyde Park, Long Island, first experience at, you know, a fire department in the Bronx. What was that like? What was that like for a young fireman?
Well, it was an eye-opening experience, we'll put it that way. As a young fireman, you know, your mentality in the fire department evolves as you evolve. And as sad as this may sound, when you get into the fire department at a young age, all you want to do is go to fires. And then the more fires you go to,
right,
you start to realize, wow, this is really affecting other people's lives, you know. So you want to be good at your craft, and the only way to get good at your craft is to, you know, go and operate at the fires. But in the reality of it is, that's not what you should be hoping for. I will say this, in the early part of my career as a fireman, we did spend a lot of time at fires in vacant buildings, because the Bronx was truly, it was probably at the end of the burning era. The early 70s was busier than the 79 when I got in, but all the way up through like 84, the Bronx was still really burning. And the large majority of that, fortunately, was vacant buildings that we were going to. So that's where you really got to hone your craft without having it affect other people.
Was that in that Fort Apache era, like when?
Yes, the Fort Apache area was the beginning of the 1970s, and they went all the way through probably 76, and then it started to spread out from there. That was the true South Bronx. Now, if you look at the fire department, they considered half the Bronx the South Bronx, because that's still the busier part of the Bronx, that they call it the South Bronx. But Fort Apache was the true first South Bronx, as it was known as. Yes.
Yeah, because I can remember driving on the Cross Bronx Expressway, looking at all the devastation on both sides back then.
I can't tell you how many times I was in those buildings.
Yeah, it was not a good time. And now when you go by there, they actually are rebuilding a lot of it.
Yes, they have big shopping malls on the one side, big commerce area, because I guess the real estate was cheap, so they moved in. And that area is actually thriving now. That's called the West Farms area. And they went from the busiest in 1978 to now they're still considered busy, but nowhere near the busiest. So
that's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's one pressing question that I'll ask you before we move on. And I hopefully, you know, the right answer. I mean, you know, Yankees or Mets?
Yankees.
Uh-oh, Otto.
Sorry, okay. Otto. I grew up a Yankee fan because my father was a Met fan. It gave us something to argue about.
Well, Evelyn's mother was one of the founders, if you will, of Project Independence, and she grew up with a view of the Yankee Stadium, if I understand it.
My from mother her, is Evelyn.
Where she lived, okay. Rebecca's mother, right?
And we you know, there it's the Grand Concourse. They all, my entire family went to Taft High School.
Okay.
Born in the Bronx, at Bronx, Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. So I said earlier, I worked in two different companies in the Bronx as a fireman. My first night in my second company, which was 44 Truck, I went to three fires that evening. One was a vacant building along the Cross Bronx that Otto had just mentioned. The second one was a fire in the locker room of Yankee Stadium after a World Series game.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's amazing. I saw there was actually quite an accident very early this morning with an MTA bus that went over on Cross Bronx Expressway, but it was one of the buses that have two mm-hmm. buses, and in the middle is a like
the articulating ones,
the like accordion thing.
Mm-hmm.
The first part went over and the second part stayed on the Cross Bronx Expressway, and wow, there were injuries, but everybody is going to be okay. So I was thinking about the cross. Can you imagine that traffic jam right by the GW? I mean,
it's the most heavily trafficked 5 miles in the country.
Yes.
The Cross Bronx Expressway.
It really is. It really is. So, very interesting career that you've had. And of course, we're kind of interested to find out how you and Otto know each other. Otto, you have kind of an interesting story.
Well, I would say I probably know Jim about 20 years, but we really didn't speak until 9/11 service at the church that we both go to. We, you know, people tend to sit in the same seats when they go to church or wherever you go, whatever your place of worship. So we usually ended up like six rows behind Jim. And I always admired the back of his head and all the hair he had, you know. And when you have sparse hair, you admire things like that. Although, like I said earlier, he does have a little patch up there now that is starting to show a little bit. All right. But Jim was up at the church every year, has a service for memorializing, you know, people who were basically killed because of 9/11. And Jim was the one who was up at the altar speaking and announcing all the names. And I said to myself, this guy sounds like he can talk. So I think he would be an interesting guy to have on the radio show, which is, as Christina knows, there are several other people from the church, Jim, who have been on. Donald Barbieri and Larry Santola has been on. I don't know if you know Larry.
Yes, I know who he is. Yep.
Yeah, both of them have been on the show. Donald, actually, several times as an example of somebody who handled adversity, which he sure did, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. So now you're the third guy that fits into that mode. You know, I believe, and I'm not wrong, I think, because I have learned a lot about Jim since then. And, you know, that he has got tremendous experience. I actually did run into him my grandson was playing baseball in New Hyde Park, and one of the kids got hit or hurt. I don't remember the deal. But Jim, as a volunteer for New Hyde Park, was one of the ones who showed up right away at the game. And I saw him from the front. So that's kind of how we hooked up. I'm glad we had an opportunity to get to know each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
You know, I know that we're probably coming semi-close to our first break, but I'd like to get into the second part. It seems like after tragic events of any kind, like 9/11 and hurricanes and riots, we tend to learn a lot about, you know, weaknesses and strengths. And then the planning comes, what to do if this happens again. So I know that, Jim, you are part of the incident management team, I guess, like it came about perhaps post 9/11. So, you know, I'm interested to hear about that and how your path to the incident management team happened.
Well, the incident management team, let's step back to 9/11 for a second. The aftermath of 9/11, the city fire department hired the McKinsey company to come in and do a report as to where our weaknesses were. Obviously, we thought we were the biggest, best, baddest fire department in the world, and we still think that, and we probably still are.
Yes.
However, everybody has weaknesses, and 9/11 showed us truly where our weaknesses were, and they came up with 18 recommendations. One of those recommendations was to form our own incident management team, because we had to have outside teams come in to help us during the aftermath of 9/11. So after the cleanup was all done and everything, after the report was done, the project became to start an incident management team for the New York City Fire Department. The original group tasked with doing it was upper level chiefs, staff chiefs, they call them, deputy chiefs, and few battalion chiefs at the time, because at 9/11 I was still a captain, so I was not included in the original group the first year of it. But they very quickly came to realize all chiefs and no Indians meant nothing got done, so they started bringing in lower level, when I say lower level, captains, lieutenants, firemen, to fill in some of the roles below. I was fortunate to be asked, I applied to become a part of that team, and the simple reason was I wanted to know what the fire department was going to do to improve itself after 9/11.
This is a great point. We're going to come back after we take a quick, maybe a minute or two break, and we'll continue with discussions about the incident management team, and we will be right back with Project Independence and You.